Okay. I should mention before we get started that I have a kid at home unexpectedly today. She's upstairs, but hopefully you won't see her wandering in back of me, but there's a small chance she might at some point wander. I don't think that will happen, but just in case. Okay, so first of all, just a housekeeping piece. For those of you that are available and want to be together again tomorrow, we're going to have our first monthly Q&A call tomorrow. I forget what time. Let me look here. So from 11 to 12:30 Eastern. So that'll be an opportunity, like we've done our previous Q&A calls, to bring forward any questions that you have at all, anything that you want to take a look at, get coached on, brainstorm, or get some consulting thoughts from me on around your business, client case studies, marketing, inner pieces, whatever it is that you need. We will, as I shared last week, we'll use the first half hour of that call to do some blueprinting and kind of some strategizing together. And then we'll use the last 60 minutes for Q&A. Okay, so today's call is called Energetics Part Two. But of course, really throughout, pretty much in every single one of our modules and every single one of our sessions, we've been looking at energetics. It wasn't just our first class, but we keep on coming back to this idea that in order to really co-create transformation with clients, it's not just about the skills and the techniques, but it's about the space that we hold with them. It's about our presence. It's about the container that we hold with our clients and the relationship. And we've looked at this in many different ways. But today we're going to get into a little bit more, I don't know what the best way to say it is, like a little bit more advanced territory, we can call it. But before we jump in, take a moment and note for yourself, jot down for yourself what you've been noticing, and really kind of thinking about or seeing when it comes to energetics. Since we started together, what is it that you've really been seeing, noticing, learning about energetics? How has that shifted, this whatever you're seeing, learning, noticing about energetics? How has that been shifting your sessions, your client work, or any other relationships? What's been important for you so far when it comes to energetics? Can I define energetics again? Yeah, so it's what I just shared. So it's about your presence. Energy follows energy. So how you show up, your presence, it's about the container that you're creating with your clients. And the ways that, not just like what are the strategizing questions you're asking, right? But how you're relating to each other. Really that like really foundational piece, which is about the connection and the relationship between you and your client, and then how you're showing up. So I'd love to hear, yeah, Elijah.
Thank you. So I'll share two examples of me messing up energetics that happened recently. I have a really active Facebook group that I run, and I invited people in the group to do co-working hours with me. And on the first day that I was doing it, I don't know why, but I thought it was starting a half hour later than I had scheduled it for. And so people were messaging me like, I'm waiting in the waiting room. I'm like, oh, I'll be there in 20 minutes, like clueless. Anyway, so I showed up late, which was flustering. And I didn't set the container. And just forgot, just like kind of jumped in and apologized, but I didn't set the container. And thank goodness one of the women that was there reached out to me and said, it would have been really great to just have a moment to connect before we started. And I was like, yeah, would have been so good. So I was really appreciative of that. Obviously I learned something there. And then I had a second co-working day and a colleague of mine showed up that I admire greatly. And I got flustered and embarrassed and nervous. Now, I don't think anybody actually felt that, but I don't know. Maybe they did. They probably did actually. Who am I kidding? Although I reached out to my colleague and friend and just said, wow, I'm sorry if that wasn't great. I was really nervous. And she's like, oh, it's fine. I didn't think so. I thought it was great. So, you know, but it was interesting for me to reflect on. So,
Thank you for both of those examples. They're super helpful. And, you know, the second one, that's a place where I still also have to catch myself in my energetics, you know, a colleague, somebody I admire, somebody that I know well, someone who I perceive as whatever more than, right? It's like, okay, where are my energetics here? Am I trying to impress? Am I, right? All the things. So it's good to take note of. And thank you. Sharon.
Hi there. So I'm not currently working with a whole lot of clients, but I have one woman that I've worked with for really a number of years. She had come to me years ago for Kabbalistic healing. The only person who ever, like, I answered the phone and she said, hi, I've been looking for a Kabbalistic healer, because she had worked with someone else and found me on the website. And she'd stopped coming. She came back again about 2.5 years ago. And things have really shifted during this time of the pandemic and just a variety of things. And we're not really doing healing sessions anymore. I'm not sure what we're doing, but it's more mentoring, coaching. Mm-hmm. But because I was used to holding space a certain way, we still kind of get a little caught in her story when she's going through a rough time. And when she was in last week, and she gets very into talking about like global things and what people think and what and why people aren't more conscientious about other people. She used to be a special ed teacher. Now she's retired. Like, why isn't everybody like trying to take care of other people? And it was like the same old story, and she was really in it. And I just like felt underneath. And I wrote something in my book. I can't remember now what it was, but it was about injustice. That was what it was, that she's got this really strong sense of justice and injustice. And I asked her a question. I don't even remember what it was, but just kind of opening that up and everything shifted. It was a real, it felt like a real breakthrough session.
I love that. I love that. So obviously there is breakthrough questioning there and listening to your client and listening to yourself. Tell me if I'm getting this right from what you've described before, Sharon. I think part of the energetic piece here for you and like a big shift, I think in the past, if someone would have been back in their story, you would have disconnected, you would have gotten bored, you would have maybe some internal eye rolling, right?
Absolutely.
And that those energetics would prevent you from being able to hear that justice, injustice piece, right? And really holding
all
that
of a sudden it was so like, oh, this is the place she gets stuck all the time.
Yeah, beautiful. So great, you know, questioning skills, listening, all of that, but beautiful shift in energetics for you, which is, as we've been talking about, the basis then that allows the mastery in those other skills.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us. Rose.
I'm muted there. Yes, I have, I believe I'm, well, it seems like it's an, I have an example of where I'm, the energetics has surprised me. And I have two clients who are both on 6 month contracts. And one client has already renewed once. And so she's been with me a year and has let me know she's not renewing, which is great, which is fine. But she started to almost wind down before, when we still had quite a bit of time left. And you can do a lot in five sessions or, and so I've been surprised at, so I'm thinking, should I have, you know, tried to move into the final, you know, segment earlier to, you know, create a really wonderful, you know, ending for this client. The other one had even more time left. She had a third and she's extremely happy. She's made it clear she's not renewing because this is the most work she's ever done in her life. And she thinks it's like, we've gone really deep. And I'm going, well, I mean, a little bit deep, but she's wanting to wind down with a third of the contract left. And it's just, I'm fine. So I think it's a form of resistance with the second one in particular, that we touched a little bit deeply. And then she thought, well, this is enough. I've gone deep. I'm ready to. And so I'm just, this whole issue of endings and maybe it should be the third, the last quarter of a segment, or I'm not sure if you have any comments about that. If I've been.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're bringing it up. So I think there's a couple of, you know, just from what you've described, there's a couple of pieces. So the first is just, what are your energetics, right? When a client starts winding down beforehand, how are you reacting versus responding to that? And is that kind of knocking you off of your ability to really hear what's needed and how to hold the space? Because I get this sense, Rose, you can tell me if you agree, as you're talking, like the intuition is there, but you haven't acted on it because of some kind of fear or, you know, something that's happened for you.
Actually, both of them. And I invited us to create this wonderful opportunity for what was next. And yet I think that I was, maybe I was judging myself and or them in that process before I made that shift. And instead of like, well, you know, people close, have a sense of ending. I'm sure that's quite unique. Each person does it differently. They might think, well, I'm in the last third, I'm coasting now. Or whereas I want to get the very last up to the very last session. So we're not all the same. And I think that was one of my ahas, is really checking out how each of my clients feels about this. So being more curious and maybe letting some judgment go.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. So that's a great shift there. And then when you get to that curiosity and the letting go of judgment, then, and it sounds like maybe you've already started it, but then you can have that conversation. So we have this much time left together. What is it that you want to receive in these sessions, in these months? How is it that you want to show up for the next five sessions, right? So that then, in case there's a default into like, we're ending things too early, or we're just coasting, or, you know, whatever it is, in case of someone just goes into that default, you can hold the space for that conversation, for them to actually set an intention around how they want to do.
Well, I ended up inviting them to do just that because they didn't really see that as an option. And so maybe it's not that, but I did lead them to that. So, but I was a little taken aback, and it was a good learning. It was good.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. And then if you are sensing resistance because you went deep, go back to our work from last week and see.
Yes. I'm just watching it now. I'm sorry. I missed it. Yeah.
Okay. Good. And then as a reminder to everybody, I love that Rose brought up endings because containers are also about endings, right? It's not just how we're starting something and setting the container, it's how we're ending it as well. Lisa.
I just had the biggest duh, aha, like when you spoke. And I can't even believe that I never realized this before, but it's where I am is where I go. So if I'm coming from this really deep grounded place, that's where I go with my clients. And if I'm in this transactional kind of get it done, more strategic place, that's where I go with my clients. And I never realized it was coming from me, not from them. And this is such a huge thing because sometimes I get frustrated, like, why don't we go deeper? Why don't we go deeper? And I go, because I wasn't there, you know? So this is a really huge aha for me. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And I love the words that you used with it. You know, say them again. Where
I am is where I go.
Where I am is where I go. Beautiful. Yeah, I'm so glad. So glad that came through and beautiful words for all of us to think about. Okay, good. So today we're gonna kind of build on everything that we've looked at so far when it comes to energetics and look at a particular kind of layer of energetics, if you will. So I'll say this first. If left unguided, what happens in the coaching container or the container with the client, what happens in the container is a microcosm of what happens out of the container in the real world. I'll say that again. If left unguided, what happens in the container is a microcosm of what happens out of the container in the real world. So what I mean by that, for example, is if left unguided, if a client is usually unsure of themselves out in the world, they are likely to bring that dynamic into the container, right? They're likely to be unsure of themselves in the container with you. If left unguided, a client out in their life angers at others easily, then they're going to bring that into the container with you. If left unguided, a client tends to compare themselves to others out in their lives, out in the real world, then in the container, they may tend to compare themselves with you or with your other clients, et cetera. If out of the container, a client tends to be hard on themselves. If left unguided, in the container, like with you, they'll be hard on themselves. So in other words, there's a very good chance that at some point or many points in the relationship with your client will consciously or unconsciously bring their own family dynamics or social dynamics and patterns into the relationship with you. They'll bring helpful dynamics in, but they'll also bring in the dynamics that tend to hold them back out in the world. So the more conscious that your client can be of their family dynamics or projections that they bring, and the more conscious and aware that you can be of those dynamics and projections, then the more in your work together you can use it for the client's growth and transformation instead of those dynamics and projections ending up working against growth and transformation in the container. So another way of kind of saying all of this is that an important component of energetics that you want to be aware of as a practitioner and support your client to be aware of is how they might be projecting parent, mother, father, brother, sister, teacher, leader, authority figure, etc., onto you as the practitioner. Is this making sense so far? Now, there's nothing wrong has happened if this happens, right? If your client projects parent, mother, father, brother, sister, sibling, teacher, you know, any of those onto you, so long as you're aware of it, right? And you address it. Doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong as a practitioner. It's actually natural for this to happen, especially if you've created a safe space and a safe container. Sometimes it can even be more likely to happen in that sense, because there's like a familiarity there, right? So probably, you know, if you've ever been in a romantic relationship, you may have noticed this as well, right? The tendency to bring old dynamics and project them onto the partner, right? And part of that is because of the familiarity and the feeling of safety in the container. So there's nothing wrong if this happens, but you do want to guide it and create awareness around it. If not, then those dynamics and those projections can have the potential to undermine progress with the client. If you, as a practitioner, can leverage the dynamics and the projections, and we'll talk about how to do that, it can almost become like pure gold for your client. It can become like pure gold. And that's because of this. If it is true that the container with the client can be like a microcosm of what happens out in the real world, then it is also true that if you, the practitioner, direct things in such a way that the container becomes a corrective opportunity for those dynamics and projections, then so much more is possible for your client, not just by way of reaching the goals that they've hired you for, but by way of their own transformation and evolution. So we want to use the container as a mechanism to shift, correct, heal the projections and the dynamics that the client brings into it. Let me give you some examples of projections and dynamics. So this will come to life a bit more. So, and by the way, I have witnessed every single one of these that I'm going to list, like I have witnessed them in clients bringing them to the container, or me bringing them to containers where I'm being coached on. So number one, you're going to judge me, right? So if a client has a fear or a belief in one of their other relationships that they're constantly being judged, they need to, you know, prove their value, whatever it is, there's a good chance that they're going to bring that on to you, right? You're going to judge me. You don't love me, or you don't love me as much as her. So I see this a lot in groups, right? So sometimes in a family dynamic, if one sibling is favored over another, or one cousin is favored over another, or in a friend group, right? One friend favored, or in a teaching, like a classroom, when one was younger or whatever, one student was favored over another, you know, that could be brought into the container. You know, you don't love me as much as your other clients or the other people in the circle, right? Or just simply one-on-one, you don't love me, right? For me. You're making me do this. You, coach, practitioner, are making me do this, right? And there's some crossover, by the way, with resistance archetypes in this too. This is just kind of like another way to look at this. You'll punish me if I don't do it right, right? So I have had clients in the past that, you know, they haven't done an action step or whatever it is, and they've come to a session saying like, I don't want you to be upset with me, but I didn't do it, right? And it's like, that's has nothing to do with me or what I've shown them. They're bringing that in from another relationship, projecting that into our container. You don't approve of me. You don't think I'm amazing enough. You'll betray me. That's another one that they could bring in. You won't really be there for me if I need you. You're not really there for me. You need to save me. Or I need to save you. I'm the savior here, right? You're trying to control me. You're being really controlling. You'll get angry at me. You don't really understand me. I'm not being seen. You don't really believe in me. You're not paying enough attention to me. You're better than me. You think I'm too much. A lot of people have been told you're too much, right? You think I'm too much. Or you think I'm annoying for asking these questions. Or you don't really like me. You're here to support me, but you don't really like me as a person. Now, of course, you know, it goes without saying, any of these things can be true based on the energetics of the practitioner, right? Which is why, you know, again, it goes without saying, we always have to check our energetics, right? But these are, you know, when we've checked them, when we, as we continue to do our own inner work, these are the things that, you know, can be brought into the container as projections. All right, so let's pause here for a moment. We're going to go much deeper with all of this, but let me ask you, what are you seeing so far? What's clicking for you so far? What feels important here so far? Dagmar.
I feel like I want to cry so deeply. Joanna, I have done so many certification programs and like learn how to manage this, like manage this dynamics with a client. But this invitation that you have created for all of us, that our container being actually the corrective pathway for this dynamics, it feels like my soul just wants to get out of my body right now. How powerful that is. And I want to thank you so deeply. I've never heard anyone speaking about it this way. Thank you. This is true gift.
You're so welcome. And I'm so glad that it resonates. And I really believe that that work is at the end of the day, even more important than the goals that our clients create, you know, as we support them. So yeah, thank you for underscoring the importance of that.
Yeah, and I like the additional piece I want to say is, even like in a lot of trauma circles, you know, when clients are like thinks, quote unquote, their own shit or projections or what have you, that is so much focus in like untying them, like stepping into the neutral stuff and kind of seeing what is my fault as a practitioner, what is their fault as the client. But again, this invitation for our work and our healing to be the container, but actually these dynamics can heal at possibly even their root is, I just feel like I have been invited to the next level of leadership in my work. Thank you, Joanna.
No, you're so, so welcome. And we'll get, in a little bit, we'll get into some of those strategies too, but I'm so glad it's resonating.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed for myself as you were listing all of those different ways of projections is how much I resonate with so many of them in my own, just my own self, and how much I have to be really aware and careful of how I'm coming and how much I'm taking care of myself in order to be able to come to a coaching relationship and not be projecting all of that onto my client. You don't like me enough. You don't. I'm not. Not, you know, those things that I can so easily do if I'm not really careful. And it's just kind of profound to feel that because I resonate so clearly with so many of them.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so glad that you're seeing that. And that's the other part of the equation that we're going to look at today is it's not just what the projections our clients bring in, but what are the unchecked projections that we're bringing in. It's huge. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a client that I had recently who presented in the very early stage of our coaching engagement saying, you're probably not going to be able to help me. I don't think I'm fixable. And it was like, it just pained my heart to hear her say that about herself. I think realizing is my approach. I kept trying to say, I don't think you're someone who needs fixing. We're all, you know, whole and competent and resourceful and you're the expert in your life and all the things that I think, you know, we've been trained as coaches to say. And I was in my head a lot trying to think, is this a cultural thing? Because she was from a different country. And I think what I did not do was just really understand that this was something she was projecting about herself, and to see her for just who she is. And so I'm reflecting on this particular client who in the end decided to end our coaching engagement early because she didn't think that she was worthy of coaching.
Yeah.
And it just broke my heart. And I was stuck in not knowing what to say, how to reassure her.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So and it's like and we'll look deeper at this in a little bit. Like, of course, reassuring can be helpful. But when it's what you're sharing is such a classic example of, I don't feel worthy in my life, or I don't feel like anything can help me or progress could ever happen. Right. At all, you know, and then that's being brought into the container. So along with reassurance, we want to create awareness mm-hmm. around this belief, right? That's not just about this coaching container, but that it's much bigger than this, and that it's patterned, and to look more deeply at those. Then there's more of an awareness when it shows right. up in the container, right? And it can be called out and worked with, you know, to move things forward.
That was a big miss for me. Yeah, so this is helpful to recognize.
We all have misses, and, right? Like, and we all have misses, and I'm glad that you're seeing, you know, what you need to see now. We're moving forward. Okay, good. So let's keep on going. So I have a feeling many of you have started to just think about this already, just from the conversation we've been having. But I'll ask some journaling questions for you. Around your dynamics. What are some of the not so helpful dynamics and patterns that you've had with your own parents or family members? So it might be some of the ones I mentioned earlier, and I'll put them in the chat. So what are some of the not so helpful dynamics that you recognize from your own family or how you show up, you've showed up? So those are just some examples. I put them in the chat, the ones I mentioned before, but there might be some others. You can think about parents, primary caretakers, siblings, teachers, authority figures. And take another moment with that one. Next question. How have you brought those? First, think about when you've been a client or a coachee, I mean, whatever you want to call it. How have you brought some of those dynamics or patterns or projections into the relationship, right? With any kind of practitioner you've worked with, or even any relationship, if you want to look more broadly. So I know for myself, when I'm client, one of the biggies that I really have to check for myself is the "you don't understand me." A lot of, I was just not fully seen for like all of who I am and my layers by my family of origin. And so I just naturally, unless I check myself, I just naturally assume that people aren't going to get all of me. They're not going to really see all of me. And then what about from the practitioner point? So if you're just honest with yourself for a moment as the practitioner, what are some of your own checked or unchecked family patterns, projections, dynamics that you bring to the relationship? I'll give you a couple of mine that I really worked on over the years. So one of mine is a big thing, you know, that my mother taught me is that if we're not in constant contact all the time, then she feels unloved and unseen. And so in the first years of my coaching practice, I felt like if I wasn't in constant contact with my clients, if I wasn't checking up on them all the time, you know, if I hadn't heard from them in like 2 days, I would check in on them, right? That they would feel abandoned, or our container wouldn't be strong enough. Totally not true. That was just an unchecked dynamic that I was bringing in. So what are some for you? All right, what are you seeing? Let's hear a share or two. And in the chat, Wendy's saying, people pleasing, not making waves, following the status quo. Anika, you've moved through the you don't, won't approve of me. Yeah, beautiful. Who else? I'd love to hear one or two more voices. What are you seeing? What feels important? Yeah, Julia is saying I give way too much time tying it to my value. Anyone want to share voice to voice? Yeah, Rose, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, I realize as the coachee, I have this thing in my family. I was the favored one. It wasn't actually a wonderful thing, but being treated as special and different as the coachee I've noticed with different coaches I've had, it's really important that I be special and different. And I, you know, whether it be the favorite or called upon enough, or so I've really had to work on that, to just be on par with everyone.
I love, you know, one of the reasons why I asked this question about us as the coachee or the client is for our own, you know, evolution, but also just to see when we can recognize that in clients as well, right? So mm-hmm. That's a good one to recognize. Dottie.
I'm not sure if I'm going to articulate this well, but I in the last question you asked, I found my answer to be surprising, which is I'll have trouble seeing a resistance archetype because I want to believe so badly that people know themselves well enough that I don't want to call bullshit on something they're saying because I think they know better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. To me, it does. It's like, you always know better than me, or I don't know enough. I don't know as much as you.
Right. Yeah.
And then what are the actions that get taken or not taken? That.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So Vesica is asking, how do you know if they are your own projections or if they're another internal experience projected into the relationship? Such a great question, Vesica. So there's two pieces to it. So number one, as the practitioner, again, we always want to do our own work. We always want to be checking our own filters. We want to be, that's one of the reasons why we're looking at this, so that we can be aware of our own dynamics and our own resistances, you know, all of that. So the more that we can check ourselves and the better that we can know ourselves, that at least creates one level of safeguarding around this, right? And but then the next piece is never make assumptions, always explore, right? Using creating awareness techniques that we looked at, and we'll look specifically in a few minutes, where it's an exploration, but it's not a telling of, you know, you're bringing that in. Okay, so with all that being said, let's take a look at, okay, so what do we do? How do we hold and handle when this is brought into the container? So first of all, just awareness of like everything that we've looked at, so far today, right? Awareness is also huge. Right? So just for us as practitioners to be aware, the more aware that we can be, the more that we can understand human behavior and human nature, not just of our clients, but of ourselves, then the less we panic, right? Like the more we know that it's normal if this happens, that's huge. That already helps us ground our energetics, hold the container with presence, right? With love. And you know, then we can use all of our foundational skills, our questioning skills, our listening, you know, all creating awareness skills, all of that to go deeper. The other thing is with this awareness as practitioners, now it's not always not about us, right? So sometimes if a client says, you're not hearing me, right? We don't want to just assume, you know, as Vesica is asking, that's a projection, right? We want to, again, I can't emphasize enough, check our privilege, check our filters, listen, know our own dynamics, right? But that being said, once we've really inspected that and looked at that, it's for our own energetics, you know, if it truly isn't about us, if it truly is something being brought in, it's again easier to hold the space then to keep on going. We want to use our creating awareness skills. So here are some examples of ways that we can co-create awareness with clients. So here's one example. To actually say, you know, sometimes we can bring our family or other early patterns into the coaching relationship. It's totally normal. And sometimes even when we do that, it means that we're feeling safe enough in the relationship. So that being said, you know, I'm sensing that sometimes you worry that I don't approve of you. And a lot of your energy gets caught up in that worry, which, by the way, that's so far from the truth in terms of me not approving of you. But I wonder if that even resonates for you. Does that resonate for you? And if they say yes, you know, so what relationship in your life does it remind you of? Where are you bringing this worry about approval from, right? And then you can do a deeper exploration there. You might want to explore how else it shows up in their life, the dynamic, right? Where doesn't it show up, maybe? You know, to look for different inroads in. Here's another example of creating awareness. So this example is a bit more direct. This is again from, you know, like all lived experience. And this is something, this is an example that I took from a client of mine where we had looked before how she was making me her mother, you know, in our work together. And so our container, in when this came up, you know, whatever time it came up, it was tight enough where I was able to say, Stacy, remember, I'm not your mother. I'm not going to forget about you just because I'm taking a month off. Right. So sometimes when an awareness has already been created, a more directness can sometimes, like, you know, like create that next level of awareness. And just as an aside, that I've noticed that that's has been a big one for some of my clients. So every August, I take a month off. Through my business, I've taken maternity leave. One of the things that I've noticed, like those projections, is like, if you're gone for a little bit, you're going to leave me, right? So that can be one that shows up. So you want to create awareness as it comes up, explore, look. Just that awareness for the client can help them to start to bring, you know, and look at like, so how, what do you want to bring to this relationship, right? Like, what is it that you want to believe about me, practitioner, in terms of approval of you or how I feel about you or, you know, whatever the projection is that you're looking at. So you can vision around that too to start to create some of that new patterning. So you want to create awareness as it comes up. But that being said, you can also preemptively bring corrective dynamics and patterns into the container. You can also preemptively bring corrective dynamics and patterns into the container. So one of my primary, one of my priorities as a practitioner is to show up for my clients as ideal parent, ideal mother, ideal father, ideal sibling. So I'll explain a little bit more, and I'm going to use gendered terms here, mother and father, because I grew up with a mother and father, and I'm cisgendered, and so that's my own reference point and what's helpful inside of me when I show up to hold space for my clients. But of course, there are many other ways, you know, I don't want to say it. There are many other ways and really kind of useful alternatives to think about the energies that I'm going to talk about. So if those if it's gendered in that way, doesn't work for you, mother and father, use the language that feels most aligned and helpful for you based on your reference point. Ideal parent, sun energy, moon, ideal sun, ideal moon, or, you know, whatever really works for you. So in striving to show up as ideal mother for my clients, I really work to show up as all nurturing, all accepting, loving, validating, consistent, and showing up in all of those ways starts to create a corrective experience for my clients. In striving to show up as the ideal father, I show up allowing for mistakes to happen. I show up to motivate in positive ways. I show up and I hold structure and boundaries fiercely and warmly. I see the highest potential of my clients. I get lovingly confrontational when necessary. And all of this works to create a corrective experience in the container. In my first years as a practitioner, I still had too much of my own stuff in the way to show up as ideal sister or ideal sibling. I felt like that gave me less credit or something like that. And so I had to work through some of that stuff. But now as ideal sibling or ideal sister, I don't put myself on a pedestal. I hold an energy of there's enough success for everyone to go around. I keep my own competition in check. I create an environment where there's enough space for everybody to shine and be seen. I show my clients that I enjoy their company, that I like them. Not just that I love them, but that I like them. And all of this works to create a corrective experience. And now we're at this point in the coaching and transformational, like the history of the coaching and transformational industry, where as practitioners, we also really need to think about showing up as the ideal leader or in the ideal leader archetype. Because unfortunately, there are already dynamics that have been created out there by past experiences, by not ideal leaders or teachers that can be brought in to the dynamic, right? To the container. And so, this is so much about power with versus power over or power under, allowing for clients' agency. Okay, I know that was a lot, so let me pause here. What are you seeing? What's important? What questions do you have? And then we'll go a little further from there. Julia.
Hey, Joanna, I had a question. As you were talking about the way you choose to show up for your clients, I realized that that's exactly what I do for them, but that's not quite what I do for myself. And like, not at all. and I wondered how do you transmute that to how you show up for yourself? Because I do have two very different judgment levels. For me, it's all about judgment, two very different judgment levels for how I approach myself and how I approach others. And I realized that I got this from my parents. They were super hard on us when it came to education, harder on us than they were on other people. And we kind of got that message that you've just got to be the hardest on yourself. You've got to work the hardest. You've got to excel. You've got to.
Yeah.
And that's the energy that I sort of bring to me.
Yeah.
Well, not sort of completely.
Yeah. So first of all, yay that you're bringing that those energies to your client containers. That's huge. And yeah, it's sometimes really more than sometimes, very often, very hard because of all of those dynamics, right? To bring it to ourselves as well. One of the biggest components of, you know, my own inner work, or I would call it my own soul work, like for myself, and this is something that I do regularly, consistently, is I channel those energies and I write letters from those energies to myself, as well as feel those energies around me. So like I'm using like the terms that are reference points for me. I need a lot of corrective ideal mother energy in my life. And I've worked on it a lot, but I like need tune-ups on that constantly, right? And so for me, it's the goddess, but ideal mother, whatever it is, like she's writing. I channel her and I write letters to myself from the energy of the goddess all the time. I'm writing letters from ideal father to myself for a while. For those of you that are Harry Potter fans, for a while, like Dumbledore was like my archetypal energy of ideal father. I'm like channel, mm-hmm. like if Dumbledore were my teacher, you know, what is it that he would say to me? So the more that we can create containers for ourselves where we lean into those energies, where we channel those energies, where we feel them. Sometimes it's about, I'll close my eyes and I'll literally feel the ideal mother sitting behind me and I'll lay back in her arms. And we do this when I do one day again, we will be in person and I will offer my facilitation training. And like, this is one of the exercises that we do in partners, right? Like to lay back and feel, right, the energy around you and like have that visceral feeling of the energy. So doing all of this work helps me first and foremost for myself, but it does give me more access to it for my client work as well.
Wow, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Chelsea.
Hi. This, I think, is a little bit related to that question that Julia just asked, but one thing I noticed that comes up for me when I look at these and even just the term ideal is that I have to be really aware that it doesn't mean perfect. And that like, as I'm a perfectionist, it doesn't mean that like, oh, I can see where I'm not being the ideal mother and then immediately falling into self-judgment and like cycling around that, like that it has to be accompanied by a lot of compassion in order for this to like land in a way that feels like accessible and not kind of like a should or yeah. So it's just something I immediately noticed and was like, oh yeah, this is really important for me to remember. And the channeling that you just mentioned really helped.
Yeah, good. And I'm so glad you're bringing it into the conversation. No perfection on ever on anything, this included. It's just not even possible, right? So yeah, and yes to compassion. I'm glad you're catching that for yourself. Good. Raka.
Hello. Oh, my video's off. Sorry. Hi. So I, before I say what I was going to say, I just wanted to reflect something I heard from what Chelsea said. And it, to me, it feels like compassion itself is such a mothering quality. So even just being able to bring that compassion in is also leaning into that archetype. But what I wanted to speak to, I can't see you, Joanna. Why can't I see you?
Can you see me now? Now?
Oh, I think I had to do the thing on the screen. Yeah, I can. So thank you for speaking to the power balance, because that is something that I was hearing in when you were sharing about projections. You know, just something about like that came up for me around remembering my experiences of being a client. And trainings and things as well, that yeah, of course, like it's so important to be aware of what we're like projecting, not just onto other people, but like onto the world, right? Like, and how, yeah. But also like there's a power, there's an inherent power, or can be an inherent power imbalance in relationship with clients. And there can sometimes, I think, be a tendency for some people with like unchecked sort of filters around what is in the field and what is a, like, because I think there's two people, there's at least two people in the dynamic, and maybe it's not so helpful to split things off in terms of who they belong to. Do you know what I mean? And the other thing that I was thinking of was also around like worldviews, which is like filters, right? Like just being aware of people's, of having a different worldview from your client, which could be cultural or it could be otherwise. And I think then sometimes if we label things as like projections or problems, then we can shut people down. You know, we make it a problem or make it wrong, or, and I think that can be really unhelpful. And I've had that experience as a client, and I've also had the opposite experience as a client, and could be really, really opening. So yeah, so something there around just being aware of power and being aware of the fact that, like, yeah, there's different ways of looking at the world. Yeah,
I'm so glad you're bringing all of this in, Raka. I feel like there's a lot in what you just said. So that, I love that you heard balance in it too. And I hadn't thought of it, you know, exactly in that way, but that's, yes, that really resonates. The power piece. This is so important for us to know as practitioners, like there is a power dynamic there, you know, there is a power dynamic, and it is our responsibility as practitioners to equal the playing field and equal the playing field and equal the playing field as much as we can, and then acknowledge when it's not, right? So yes, 100% to that. And yeah, the worldview piece, right, which is our filters. And I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because it, right, we don't want to look at any of this as a problem. So I'm so glad that you're bringing that in. None of this is a problem. This is all for our awareness to then create it, to kind of like turn it into that pure gold that I was talking about before with clients. But the second we view it as a problem, then we've cut off any potential to harness it for positive. So thank you for all of that, Raka.
Thank you.
Rachel.
Hi, I have a situation with a client, and I'm wondering whether like this might be helpful in that situation. Well, it was an exchange actually in our last session. We were working on a topic, and then they said, "Oh, Rachel, I really want to work on this in the next session." But then they very in like this like kind of like desperate voice, they're like, "Oh, but I really need you to remember it, because I'm not going to be able to remember it for next session. So Rachel, I really need you to do that." And I was wondering, like for me, I didn't know how to respond to that. Because I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to get at?
I think so. Well, let me ask you this. So when that happened, what were you curious about in that moment?
I was curious about why they didn't trust themselves to remember it.
Yeah. Did you ask?
Not at the time. Not at the time. I said I would. But this is also something that's, it's not just once that this has happened in this, like, there's like often this, like, I need your feedback. I need you to tell me.
Yeah. Even well, right, like, exactly. Yeah. Right. So if that, so back to, you know, I was sharing about creating awareness, right? So you were listening, there's a curiosity that came up, a possible pattern that you're seeing. So I would use my creating awareness skills in that moment and say something like, you know, I can absolutely remind us in the next session. And unless you're not happy to do it, don't say I'm happy to do it, but if you are, right? And say, but you know, there's something that I'm wondering about. I wonder if this resonates for you. I notice, I think that, I forget the words that you just used, but sometimes you don't trust yourself enough to blah, right? Like whatever the blah is, to remember something like this or to blah. It doesn't feel like isolated events. Do you feel like they're linked? Does it feel like there might be some patterns here around that for you, around not trusting yourself?
It's really interesting because then I'm like, oh, but then I don't trust myself to be able to coach them through that. Okay. All right, that's really helpful though. Okay.
Why don't you trust yourself to coach them through that?
I'm not sure. I think the other thing that was in the back of my mind when they said that was like my feeling about them is that I'm always quite in awe of them. Because they're actually like super successful in doing amazing things. So I'm always a bit taken aback when this comes up. Like maybe like I need to work on leveling the playing field, even though it's like kind of this really weird seesaw. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
But tell me if I'm getting this right. What I think I'm hearing is that sometimes you get intimidated by this client. And that impact.
Yeah. Like at the start, I was quite intimidated by them, but then there's this like dynamic of them being like, oh, I need you. And then I got confused. Yeah.
What's the fear that comes up when you get intimidated by them and their success?
That I might make a wrong step and mess it up in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me if this feels accurate in terms of a belief that maybe is embedded inside of you somehow. When I'm in the presence of a client that's super successful, I'm scared that I'm going to take a wrong step or mess it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where would a belief like that come from?
I think maybe there's another belief behind that, like this client's really cool and therefore I'm not cool enough for them.
yeah, sister stuff, sister wound, sibling stuff.
Yeah, I guess I really want to be liked by them maybe.
Yeah, so that's a great place to unpack a bit more, right? This kind of cool factor and this wanting to be liked.
Yeah.
And to look more deeply there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And as not an aside, but also just to say, when I have thoughts in my head, like that I'm in awe of a client, I share those. I share that with the client. Like, you're amazing. I'm in awe of you, right? Like in the right moment.
Yeah.
But I do it for two reasons. One is, you know, validation, acknowledgement, honoring, you know, all of ideal mother, ideal parent, like whatever you want to call it. But the other is, especially if it's a trigger for me, right? Like if you know it's a trigger for you, to just voice like, you're amazing. I'm in awe of you. Like it will take some of the trigger out for you as the practitioner to share, to acknowledge and celebrate your client.
Mm.
I shouldn't say it will, but it has the potential to. It's something to play around with.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
Elijah.
I forgot I raised my hand. Thank you. Gosh. Well, I am two questions. So what I realized is, so I loved your channeling, letter writing, love that so much. And I can see where that's going to be effective with both me and my clients. And I can, you know, I already am thinking about my clients and what's going on. But, so I especially like had an absentee father, let's just put it that way, to put it nicely. So I actually was thinking though, I don't even know what it means to be an ideal father. Like I have no, cause I did a lot of therapy and I'm like, let that go. You know, I'm good. I'm fine. It's all good. But have often thought, well, what would it have been like? Who would I be if I had, you know, had an ideal father or whatever, a good father? So how do you even start exploring that? I mean, you did help with some of the, you put, if I look at my notes, like you did say some attributes that I think are helpful, but I guess I'm wondering if you could expand on it. And then the second question, but I kind of answered it myself, was I was thinking, would this work with partnership? I just thinking of two clients in particular that are in turmoil in their relationships. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, but I don't think it will. Actually, I was thinking like, could you channel perfect partner? Anyway, those are my questions and thoughts.
Thank you. Okay, so first one, in terms of ideal father, I don't want to like feed more attributes to you. I'm going to give you an, you know, kind of more of an exploration for that. So it sounds like you're clear on ideal mother for yourself.
Very much so.
So what I would say is do some work around, so what else, right? Like what are the other ideal energies that you would have wanted present for you and supporting you? And also that a client would, right? So let's, you know, just taking it even out of the mother, father, you know, all of that. So I would do that exploration. And then Raka's also saying, I agree, some role models, right? So similar to what I was sharing before about Dumbledore, like, you know, I read the Harry Potter series. And I was like, oh, this guy, you know? So looking to, you know, whether it's books or TV or people out there, mythology, right, you know, gods, goddesses, what that energy would be like for you. And then in terms of the, I don't think I understood the relationship question exactly, but it was, can you channel an ideal partner?
And write that letter, like.
So you can, so yes, but not who my ideal partner would be, but who I am, like the ideal partner that I want to be.
Love that. Oh, that's really good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm just looking at what else I want to share today. Well, other piece I want to, there's really nothing else around this. So I'll give homework in a minute and then if we have time, I'll share some other things. But any other thoughts or questions? Or, you know, anything coming together that wants to be shared, what feels important here? What questions do you have? Solway.
I just was reflecting on, I was curious, I noticed that you didn't mention ideal brother. And I was curious if there's, like, I'm thinking of some ways that, like, we could heal relationships that way too. And I'm, or be corrective in that way too. Is there, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. I did mention ideal brother. I think I just said
I missed it. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, I'll go back and listen. I must have.
No. But I didn't give attributes.
Okay.
One of the reasons is because it's not one of my reference points because I don't have a brother. But if I were to lean into it and, like, you know, what I've seen, I think the sibling piece, you know, it doesn't have to, right? Like, so I think there's this something about, like, equal ground and equal footing. And I like you, you know, I'm not just, like, in this family with you because I have to, but I like you. There's the competition pieces. I mean, I don't, what else would you add to that?
I don't know. It just was, I was thinking about it as, I think it was it Elijah who just was meant, or somebody was just talking about partners. And I was thinking about just sort of the idea of corrective experiences with men, people who identify as men. So that was just showing up in my mind. I don't have any conclusions about it, but I was thinking about it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, so I think that would be useful, right? Like, it could be valuable for you to do an exploration, similar to what I was sharing with Elijah, like, what would it be for you? You know, what are those, right? Whether it's ideal man or ideal brother, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna rest with that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else that wants to be shared or any other questions? Rose.
I guess thank you for just this rich reminder of how our own personal work is so important. You know, my own awareness of me as a human being, as a woman, as a coach, as a mother, as a friend, you know, and just how we bring all of ourselves to our clients and our relationships. And so the more that I know about myself and continue to do my own work, it's just serving, you know, the consciousness of the world. And so thank you for that. It's just keep on going, Rose. So
yes, keep on going. Yeah, and so beautifully put. I agree with you, the inner work just, it infuses, is obviously not just for us, but it infuses our containers with our clients.
I had one other thought that about the corrective aspect of relationships. I have two younger male friends. They're in their 40s, early 40s, and they're both Gestalt therapists. And we often comment on how our relationships are correcting our own personal upbringing. You know, I am sort of a mother figure to them, but I'm also a sister figure and a partner figure. And same for me, these younger men who are just so, you know, self-aware, and they help me to correct my view of what's possible in a man. And so that's what we can bring to our clients as well, that knowledge that we have and how we can help our clients correct, you know, the pain and damage of our past. So thanks.
Love that. Dagmar?
I'm going to follow the path or the invitation that you have encouraged us, like when we are in a, when we feel intimidated by our clients to actually express our awe and wonder. And I want to say, I'm going to words, not because I'm intimidated by you, but because I'm in absolute, complete awe of your brilliance, your leadership, your presence, your teaching, your guidance. I feel that you are the shining light in my life, and your teaching is just incredible. And I want to say a massive thank you from the bottom of my heart. And even though I'm not like super fully present in this program, the impact your work has, not only on my work, but actually my personal relationships, is outstanding. Thank you for showing in all of yourself. You are incredible human being, Joanna. Thank you.
First of all, you're welcome. And I will take it. I'm taking it in. And also remember projections, right? So what you're seeing in me is I'm just reflecting back who you are, Dagmar, right? And what you can see in yourself.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you.
Kim.
Well, gosh, I hate to shift again from what Dagmar just shared, because it is so hard. But I've been kind of playing with this word correcting as we've been talking about it this morning. And I there's one part of me that embraces that. And then another part of me that's like, well, if we're correcting something, you know, then it implies a brokenness. And I've tried to think of, okay, what other words can substitute, and is it healing? You know, what is it? But it all kind of points back to something that's a deficit. How do we deal with that?
I love that question. It's so funny. I've taught this class so many times, and I've never felt that. And then today, as I was using the word, I was kind of feeling that too. So I'm so glad that you're voicing it, Kim. I'd love to hear if anybody has a better word than corrective or healing, something that wouldn't imply that there's a brokenness to begin with.
And
coming into a higher alignment, Vesica is saying, I love that. Rectification, rectifying, restorative, more skillful. I love all of those. I'm gonna change my worksheet.
I don't mean because there is something that we're striving for more of, right? I think there is that, but it's hard to hold someone as whole and complete if we're also, you know, and maybe it's alleviating suffering. I don't know.
I think it's a very, very valuable question. Yeah. And language matters, you know, language matters. So I'm so glad that you're bringing it into the conversation. Okay, we're at 2:30. Let me share with you some homework. So you'll get a worksheet this week that will help you track your projections that you're bringing into any relationships, just to bring some more awareness into what's going on for you so you can see. So you'll get that. You'll have some, you know, journaling questions to go a little bit deeper on dynamics. I want to encourage you to bring ideal, whatever language you want to use, you know, from like the energies that we spoke about today, but to bring some of those archetypal energies even more consciously into your relationships, whether it's your coaching relationships or other relationships in your life. How can you more consciously bring some of these energies in? And then if you're working with a coaching partner, unpack some of these pieces a little bit more and take a look at what you may be projecting into that relationship as well. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for today. I hope you got exactly what you needed. Oh, you know, just the last homework piece, which I guess is embedded in all of those, is to like notice this more in your client sessions, what your clients are bringing in as well. And to you know, see if you want to start creating some awareness around it. Okay. Thinking about all of you, have a great week, unless I'll see you tomorrow for our Q&A. And I'll see you then. Bye.
Bye, thank you.